So I felt this, that God is in a remarkable season of restoration in all of your families, both of your families in business and ministry and life. And everything's going to turn out better than you think and what you're planning and what you forecast, because the Lord's touching it. The Lord's not going to fail you, Dr. McCray, Mrs. McCray. But God's got a season of supernatural surprises for you. Suddenlies are going to flow from everything, from a house being given to you, to all kinds of extravagant things begin to flow into your world. And Gary, every promise gave you from 17 years ago to 9 years ago to 5 years ago, every promise of God is coming into alignment. You're a miracle man about to experience a miracle testimony. God's lining, this is the setup, and the Lord will say to people that I gave up saying, well, those guys, you know, they kept saying God was going to do something. I'm going to make your enemies all be ashamed. I'm going to make your friends all laugh for joy, for the thing that I will do in the end of things is better than the thing I've done in the beginning of things. I'm going to show off extravagantly in your life stories by what I'm going to do. And I'm blessing a thing to increase tenfold in a business concept. So get ready. Things are about to blast off. And God says, just put your seatbelts on and watch what I do. I've got this season in my hand under my control. And I'm working in your behalf, says the Lord. God, thank you for helping them. In Christ's name.
One last thing I just wanted to mention. You can be generous and buy a backpack for kids in the lobby for only $10. Our goal is to purchase 600 and be able to bless the kids going back to school. So you can buy as many as you want, but stop at that table and help us reach our goal.
Yeah. Wave with joy today with a heart filled with expectation. Would you please prepare your gifts and watch this week's announcements as you do. Thank you. Beautiful. Say with me, beautiful. Okay. We're going to be talking about some important things that God has for us as the end time church. Today, the beautiful church. Before I get started, let me share a little story with you. Three pastors went to a pastor's convention, and they were all sharing one hotel room. The first pastor said, "Let's confess our secret sins to one another." I'll start it off. My secret sin is that I love to gamble. When I go out of town, it's cha-ching, cha-ching, let the machines ring. The second pastor said, "Well, my secret sin is I hate working. I copy all my sermons from those given by other pastors." The third pastor said, "Well, my secret sin is gossiping. And oh boy, I just can't wait to get out of this room." Okay, I can't wait to read the scripture to you. Matthew chapter 25 is our main text today. Jesus taught parables, around 40 parables. They were all illustrated sermons. But deeper than that, they were kingdom revelations of God's purpose for his people. A couple of the parables are almost exclusively orientated toward last day events. This is a last day parable, and if we believe we're in the last days, it is directed at us as his people. Matthew 25, verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." So the imagery, the allegory of the parable is simple. The bridegroom is who? It's J-E-S-U-S. Okay, the bridegroom is Jesus. The Bible teaches both by Christ and Old Testament reference and New Testament revelation that we are the bride of Christ, that Christ is our bridegroom. Ephesians 5 says that plainly. And so the 10 virgins represent the entirety of the last day church. Now, 5 of the virgins were wise and 5 of the virgins were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. Now, oil in the Bible speaks of the operation of the gifts, the fullness, the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit. So they had no Holy Spirit function. But the wise took oil, or the Holy Spirit, in his person, his presence, his power, his enabling abilities in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. It's an amazing thing all through church history. Great men and women of faith have wrongly predicted exact dates or years that Christ would come again. And I mean, wonderful people. I don't want to say their names because there might be associated dishonor with that. But just a who's who of church history leaders. They said, well, you know, God's got to come now and you know, all the events. But the whole idea was it happened later than they were prepared for. It was a delay. So we are living in that exact period of time now. And we'll talk about the consequence of that, both good and bad. And at midnight, everybody say midnight. So at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go to meet him. Now, the reason why, just a little Hebrew history. In a Hebrew family, a Jewish family, when a man got engaged to a woman, his first assignment was to go prepare his house, his honeymoon house, suite, sometimes attached to the big house, sometimes a separate house, usually in the vicinity of the main property. And that was called a chupa, and the bridegroom would go and make it ready. And the father would come and check periodically and seeing how construction or how model or, you know, remodeling or how furnishing was coming. And it didn't matter if it was day or night. When the father saw that the room was ready, he said, okay, you can marry her now. And so because the bridegroom would be, you know, motivated for the wedding. So here's Jesus saying that everything was ready at midnight. Now Christ himself said this. In John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you, a chupa, a honeymoon suite, that where I am, you may be also. So Jesus is making a place ready for us. Now, Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming back. No one knows but the Father. But Jesus is getting heaven ready for us. Okay? And imagine men waiting 2,000 years for your honeymoon. That's Jesus, okay? That's Jesus. So the cry came, he's ready. Let's go meet him. Then all the virgins arose, okay? The whole church, all 10 arose from their sleep and trimmed their lamps. Now the word trimmed used there is the whole prophetic momentum of my message. It's the Greek word cosmeo. And we get our word cosmetic from it. It means just what we think it is. It means to beautify, to put things in order, to decorate, to arrange things. So, ladies, today before church, how many of you arrange things? So, you know, hair and makeup and beautifying yourself, however you do it, whatever your routine is. So Jesus said, the whole church, the church is responsible for how beautiful she will ever become. Because God has given us the makeup. He has given us the oils that if we apply them, they make us beautiful to heaven. Now, you have to get this. God sees beauty wherever he finds oil. Okay? Any place where the Holy Spirit is moving, it doesn't matter how chaotic it looks like or how imperfect the people, God says, man, that's beautiful, baby. Why? He sees himself in it. He sees himself in it. We'll come back to that. Tell your neighbor you're looking beautiful. Well, even if it's a prophecy, just spit it out. Then all the virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. The foolish, sophos means wise, foolish means unwise. So those that were unprepared because they had neglected the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to go there. Can't help it. The parables leads us there. The unwise said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. People that have lost momentum will always try to attach their lives to those who have momentum in order to pull their lives forward. But you can't allow too many people like that in your world, because they'll stop you from going. You got to find your own mojo. You got to find your own Holy Ghost. Come on. Okay. So the wise said, hey, it's not that we're cruel. It's not that we are stingy. But the wise answered and said, no, lest there should not be enough for you and us. You yourselves go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. So they were saying there's a process, and just get it the way we got it. So get it from God. You can have it. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. Here comes Jesus. Midnight cry. The heavens split open. The trumpet. Bum-ba-da-dum-ba-bum. Here comes Jesus. The church, his bride, raptured to him, and those that were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the doors were shut. And the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, as surely I say to you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for writing this book, this love letter of your heart, your revealed will to us. We open our hearts to receive the manna of your word. Speak to us. Anoint your servant, your word, and your people, God. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So the whole parable is about oil. And Christ suggests to us that in the last days, the division of the church will be between these two camps, those that have oil and those that don't. Now, this is massively important, because we can carry on no Christian kingdom function absent the presence, power, and leadership of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is gone, we always mess up. If you look across the tapestry, if you look across the horizon, for the last, especially since the Reformation, just look at Protestant churches and you know, all churches, but just look at the Protestant movement, great movements of God, the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, the Episcopalian Church, the Lutheran Church. I was raised Lutheran. They all began as genuine, anointed, God-ordained moves of God. But almost the entirety of those movements I mentioned are all preaching heresy today, and they're rejecting biblical truth because the Holy Spirit ain't there no more. And it's amazing. You can't even understand the Bible if the Holy Spirit's not in your life. You'll mess up even the simple stuff of the Bible. Well, I don't believe in that. Well, the Bible, well, I don't. We're just going to make up our own thing. When the Holy Spirit's gone, we always teach ourselves, and man, did we mess that up. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us to stop messing up. Amen? Now, I'm not bagging denominations. God's going to move. There are wonderful people in all those movements I just talked about. But please understand the significance of what happens when the Holy Spirit is shut out of the body of Christ. When the Holy Spirit is gone, man, do we get in trouble. So, all kinds of things are happening, and what a significant season of that we're living in. We're living in this time of distinctive separation between the oil holders and those without it. Without the oil of the Holy Spirit, we lose the purpose and direction of God that he has ordained for our lives. Okay? The last day church will be divided into two groups, those that have oil and those that do not. Religion is man's attempt to become beautiful in God's eyes through human effort, absent the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. That never works. Everything about the Holy Spirit is beautiful. Everything about the Holy Spirit is amazing. And so we need the Holy Spirit more than ever. The lamp of heavenly revelation in the church will always go out whenever the person of the Holy Spirit is shut out. I'm going to say that again. You can have, I talk with people, significant people in high places, in religious settings, religious movements, religious denominations, wonderful people. And I talk to them and I can't believe some of the things they believed. Now, why? Because intellect is capable of massive deception when the Holy Spirit, through revelation, is not a part of your belief system. I know some powerfully intelligent people that have come to unbelievable, heretic conclusions about God and about life because they trust their mind and not the Holy Spirit. I don't care how smart you are, you need the Holy Spirit. I don't care how much you think. So, that's important. The lamp of heavenly revelation will always go out whenever the person of the Holy Spirit is shut out. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is the senior pastor of Church for the Nations. That's why last week was so good. That's why the week before was so good. I'm honored. I'm deeply humbled. I'm so grateful that I'm allowed to stand here. But I promise you, when the day that I'm no longer the guy here, the Holy Spirit will still be the guy. Because we will never empower anybody to be on this stage who's not 100% dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Because it's not up to our personality or our intellect. It's the Holy Ghost in us that helps you. Woo! Revelation 19 also gives us a picture of the last day church. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, that's you, has made herself ready. Cosmeo. I told my wife, my wife is a natural beauty. She was, when we were walking the streets a couple of days, she didn't put on any makeup because we were at the beach, whatever. And she looks as good or even better without makeup than with makeup. And I tell her that all the time. But not all women are like her. So if the bar needs painting, paint it. Don't worry about it. Just bump, 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 bump. Excuse me. No offense intended, although I am sure I offended a bunch of you. So the church made herself ready. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, let me help you with some things. You are the restoration generation. At your disposal is more restored truth than at any time of 2,000 years of church history. The early church had the freshness of the encounters of God through the apostles, but they, you know what they didn't have? The New Testament. You got encounters with God, the Holy Ghost, and the Bible. And for 500 years, God has been progressively restoring the redemptive revelation of who we are, of the church, the body of Christ, God's kingdom. We are the revelation generation, the restoration generation. So things that were lost, the dark ages, truth was lost for the most part. Like my wife said, people try to achieve grace. But grace can only be received, not achieved. It's not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to his mercy. Titus 3 says, he has saved us with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. There's none righteous, no, not one. It's not about you, it's about him. And whenever he sees him in you, he says, that's beautiful. Whenever he sees the oil flowing, he sees it's beautiful. Whenever you see someone walking in love, here's what the Bible says. Do you know it's Galatians 5:22? But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is kindness, is goodness, is faithfulness, is meekness, is patience, is self-control. I pray every day for fruit. Why? Because I leak. I prayed yesterday, but yesterday's prayer got me through yesterday. Today, fill me, Holy Spirit, with love, love, with love. When God fills you with the Spirit, he fills you with love. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad, abundantly splurged or poured on us through the Holy Spirit who's given to us. When the Holy Spirit came, he came filled with love. And when you're filled with love, you're filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with love. God wants you to be a carrier of love. Listen to me. When God sees the oil of love flowing, he sees it beautiful. He says, man, that's beautiful. You might have 20 things going wrong in your life. You might be trying to quit smoking. You might be trying to do this, but you're loving people. God says, you're beautiful. All your friends said, man, you got a lot of problems. No, I know, but he keeps telling me I'm beautiful. Why? He sees himself in you. And when he sees the oil, he's like, oh, it's beautiful, man. That's beautiful stuff. We can't be good enough. We can't be cunning enough, perfect enough. We can't design churches and church services and programs and outreaches. We can't do good enough to make God perfectly satisfied without the Holy Spirit. And the last day church trimmed their oil. They took advantage of the full tapestry of the gifts and virtues of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Pastor, I just have a hard time loving people. I know you're a hater. I follow you on Facebook, man. You got stuff to say about a lot of stuff. I noticed that. A lot of commentary coming from your direction. Well, I don't know. I'm just not naturally a lover. Who is? Stop using your personality as an excuse not to be like Jesus. People say, I have a friend of mine, and I'm not going to rat him out, so don't ask me his name. I have a friend of mine who's a world famous minister now, but before he was saved, he was a sociopath. So he'd walk into your house, while you're there and steal your stuff from you. Okay, he was a crook, a robber, a con man, a liar. He gets saved. He's like the world's best evangelist. Now, listen to me. He was an extrovert. But there's some of us that it takes extreme acts of bravery because we are more introverted to do public things or even personal things. And I applaud all the introverts here that still let God use you. Don't ever say, well, that's just not my personality. I know it's not. It's the Holy Ghost. Here's what Jesus said. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes. That power will make you a witness. What? I just have a hard time witnessing. I know you do. Here, you need some power. Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will make you forget about yourself. I've had this 1,000 times. I've been somewhere minding. I was walking down the streets of Laguna, California, praying in tongues, looking at the ocean. Two guys say, hey, ain't you Pastor Mike? I turn around. Busted. On vacation. And the Lord said to me, go prophesy to him. I said, I'm on vacation. He said, go prophesy. Come on, prophecy boy, go do your thing. See, it's not me. I don't run down the streets looking. I'm a prophecy man. I'm more shy. But the Holy Ghost messes me up. And so next thing I know, they're shaking. I'm prophesying. And my voice is rising. I stop caring about all the people walking down the street. I don't care. The Holy Ghost, we're having a revival. Come on. 100 times I've been in the plane flight minding my own biz-wax. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to give a word to that person next to you. I said, I don't want to. I don't know them. It's hard for me. He says, just trust me. Get in the flow. And I say, I always use my vocation. Sir, I'm a minister. Excuse me. I have to say this, or else I'm going to go to hell. No, I know that. I have to say this, or else I'll have a miserable flight if I don't say this, because I will quench the Holy Spirit. I said, awesome thing. Miracles happen. I saw some miracles today already. Some prophecies again. I saw some miracles today already. People I did not know received miracles because of prophecy. It's all the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor, some people are just born happy, And some of us are just more serious. I know Debbie Downer. I know that's your, not you, Debbie. It's a Saturday night reference, Saturday Night Live reference. Okay, I know Doug Downer. That's your temperament, but you just need more Holy Ghost because he will change the way you lean by natural acumen. So, well, you know, I come from Italians. We're all hot-blooded. We're angry. We're just, you know, we speak our minds. We're front row excluded. Other people, we're just, you have to be careful. Who cares? That's just your flesh. You're more than flesh. Your flesh isn't even going to heaven. That doesn't mean he's going to hell. It's just not making the trip up. Leaving behind, you get a new body, eternal, immortal, unaging. Some of you are already counting down. 1 Corinthians 12 says the gifts of the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So Mary and I were living in California, and it's 21 or 22. I think 21. And I was cleaning I had a carpet cleaning business while working for a church. And I'm cleaning the guy's carpet, but I'd been meditating all week on what Jesus said in Matthew 15. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And so 1 week, I forgot about all the others. I meditate day and night. The Holy Spirit will show me things to come. No, I didn't know what I think would happen, but I'm cleaning this multimillionaire's house in Orange, California. I'm cleaning this Jewish man, this multi-story house, and it was a couple day project so big. I'm cleaning it, and the Lord starts speaking to me about the guy. And I'm thinking, this is unexpected. I don't know that guy. He's not even a believer yet. I'm not, you know, something. So clarity, dates and names. And I go, uh-oh. So I'm done cleaning. I made sure I got my check first. Then I said, sir, while I was cleaning your carpets, I was praying for you and your family. And here's what I feel God said to me. It wasn't two sentences into that he started crying. A poor as dirt little 21-year-old carpet cleaner. I'm in the house of a multimillionaire, top of his game business guy. And because of the Holy Ghost, that man was born again. And next time I saw him, he was sitting in the front row of a Kenneth Copeland meeting. Just all on fire. What are you saying, Pastor? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. Why would a man who has everything listen to a young man who has nothing? Because the Holy Ghost. And so the Bible says, these gifts, every day I thank God for the gift this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your gifts. Thank you for prophecy, to build people up, to edify, to encourage people. Thank you for tongues, interpretation of those tongues. Thank you for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Thank you for working of miracles. Thank you for gifts of healing. Thank you for supernatural faith. Now let's go get them, God. All those gifts, come on, ladies, they're sitting on your vanity. The gift of prophecy is over there, jumping up and down. Come on, spray some of me on today. Use me today. Come on, I'm over here available any day for you. The gift of miracles. Hey, don't forget me. All the oils of heaven are at your disposal. And so the last day church says, I'm going to have it all. She makes herself ready because God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for maturity. Come on. The church will never be perfect because you're in it. Let me rephrase that. The church will never be perfect because she is made of imperfect people. God's dream is, oh my God. He doesn't say, oh, my Jesus. I know he says, oh, myself. O-M-M. O-M-M. And he says, when's the church going to have a sinless day? Well, never. We keep fantasy. We are imperfect people. What's God looking for? He's looking for maturity. What is maturity? When we avail ourselves of the full arrangement, the full blessings of everything God's put in the earth for us. Okay? For the first time in 1,700 years, God has restored the presence and function of the fivefold ministry in the earth. It's in your notes, Ephesians 4. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Not so you can put on your business card, hi, I'm Apostle Maiden. I get those all the time. It's cute, it's whatever. When you're an apostle, believe me, you don't have to advertise. Your fruit advertises for you. Okay? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the saints, is what the New King James says. Katerismos, it means to repair a broken bone, to restore something to its design and function. So listen to me. The purpose of the fivefold ministry, because we've had like three gifts in 3 weeks here, is to pour into your life anointings. So you function apostolically. So you function prophetically, both by receiving words of direction and by releasing prophetic ministry. That you function evangelistically. That you function pastorally. That you function in doctrine through teaching, through teachers. God wants those gifts. So for the first time in 1,700 years, those gifts are in the earth. And the Last Day Church has the chance to be the most mature she's ever been. She couldn't have. The church could not mature until the agents of maturity were restored in the earth. See, we keep underestimating what God's doing. We keep undervaluing. Okay, it's become popular, even fashionable, among some believers to become prophetical critics of all they see wrong in the church. Anybody know someone like that? When I used to go to church, I heard this morning, I used to go to church, but the church is full of hypocrites. Of course, where else are we going to go to get better? Come on, I need a big sign. Hypocrites, welcome! CFTN, come on! Somebody's got to help you, might as well be here. Liars, welcome! Cheaters, fornicators, witches, warlocks, welcome! There's no test to get in. Whosoever will is welcome. We got to get this down. Here's the second part. That the church will never be perfect, sinless, problemless, issueless, because it's made up of imperfect people. But the Last Day Church will become mature to the point that our bridegroom Jesus is released from heaven to come and claim us. Now, I'm going to be delicate how I share this story, because I've not pre-tested it with my bride. But we've been married 38 years, and for many of those years, I had three women in the house. And let me just say this. With three women in my house, I was never on time for anything. So Matthew will remember this, and Timmy, we're sitting in the car waiting for one of the women. So, you know, that woman, then the other two women she gave birth to. All these women. And there's just, and the more you rush them, the more you're in trouble. And the longer they're going to take. Now it's going to take me twice as long. You're putting all this pressure on me. I get blah, blah, blah. So we just go in the car, put on music and talk sports, waiting for the gals to come out. And we just put into our timelines, we're always going to be just a little late to everything. It's okay. I got three gals with me. Now, why am I late? Because they're not going no place till they're ready. You with me? I'm ready. Put on a shirt. Listen, nothing personal. But in the summertime in Arizona, make sure that you do the proper protocol so that when you raise your hands to give God glory, you don't kill anybody around you in this church, okay? Just saying, just consider the lilies of the field. And so the wife decides when she's ready. Any of you brides come a little late, you're supposed to come down there. I'm not ready. It's extra time getting ready for the wedding. Anybody like that? I'll ask your husbands. They'll tell me the truth. Kevin, she was 20 minutes late. We're all in there looking at our watch. You know what? Getting ready. Now, what is God? We're acting like we're waiting for God. Well, when's God going? God said, what do you mean, when am I coming? I'm coming when you're ready. I'm coming when you're ready. I'm coming when you're walking in when the oil is flowing, when the oil is everywhere, when the church trims her lamps and beautifies herself with the fragrances of the Holy Spirit. I'm coming for that church. A saturated church, an empowered church, a Spirit-led church, a Spirit-governed church, a Spirit-empowered church, a spiritual church that has found the secret of walking in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said some cool things. Let me read these in closing about the Holy Spirit in the book of John. As we turn there, let me quote a couple of scriptures to you. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, the Bible says, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. A brother told me first service, to close the service, Eduardo, I'll put his picture next week. He said, I was in a church service and my heart, my right ventricle was leaking. I had serious heart issues that were going to require surgery. I don't know how much. He said, you called out, God was healing someone's heart. He said, I want you to know, I went to the cardiologist Friday, and he said, my heart is perfect. Someone say, Holy Ghost! Okay, so, oh, what can he do? Come on, business people. Stop leaning exclusively on your own acumen. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me through these, to navigate these uncertain waters. Show me how to be successful. Oh, he will. I promise you, he will. Zechariah 4 says, it's not by might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. 1 John 4:4 says, because greater is he, the Holy Ghost, in you than he that's in the world. Yeah. The last day church is going to let her lamp shine because of the Holy Spirit in her. The church is God's great idea. Christ died for the church. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. God will never give up on the church. God's not done with the church. And this is the greatest hour of the church. You will never become so spiritually mature or godly that you outgrow your need for the church. So, listen, I have some wonderful spiritual friends. They say, well, I've kind of learned, everything I need to know in the church. Here's the problem. We don't need mature people to say, well, there's not much the church can teach me anymore. The whole point of maturity is for you to teach others. And when mature people leave the church, what about half of our church, the CFTN, is made up of relatively new converts? Well, we can't have every mature believer in America say, well, I don't need the church anymore. I'm walking with Jesus. Well, good for you. Well, what about the rest of the people that need you? See, it's not about you needing the church. The church needs you, baby. Someone is hurting, waiting for your life to intersect them with the love of Christ, with truth, with grace, with testimony. It's truth. Okay? John 14, Jesus said, I will pray the Father. He will give you another helper, Parakletos. It's in your note. Parakletos means comforter, counselor, teacher, intercessor, strengthener, guide, advocate. He's a portrait of a defense attorney, but it means all of those things. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and soon will be in you. I won't leave you orphaned. The Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of adoption. He does these great things. Chapter 15, John 15. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Helper, that I will send to you, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's important that I go away. If I don't go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Paracletos, can't come to you. But if I leave, I'll send him. When he's come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world, the ruler of this world, is judged. Now, this is awesome. Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I will say he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So, a couple things. So, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict us of our need to repent. Now, I don't know about you. I think it's good to feel bad about sin. Okay? Even as an adult, I've walked with Jesus 50 years. I still like conviction. I want my heart to be tender and soft to the Holy Spirit. And by the way, no one comes to Christ without that conviction leading us to Christ. Conviction is God saying, come home. Condemnation is the devil saying, go away. So God brings us to Christ. But then it said, after he convicts us of sin, he convicts us of righteousness. What does that mean? He then tells you, you're no longer a sinner. You're a saint. You're a Christian. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're a child of God. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Your identity is restored to who you really are. You're a history maker. The devil is afraid of you discovering your real kingdom identity, because that identity will unlock your kingdom purpose, and that kingdom purpose will change the world. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. You are God's sons and daughters. Of judgment, because the devil, the ruler, has been defeated. The Holy Spirit will always remind you that God's big, the devil's little. The Holy Spirit will always remind you that you have authority over the works of the enemy. The Holy Spirit will always remind you, never let the devil push you around. The devil's chief weapon is deception. The Holy Spirit overcomes deception through revelation. And revelation empowers us to rule over the enemy every time he tries to hurt us. Oh, thank you, God, for what you're doing. Come on, lift your hand. I need to stop preaching. I don't want to, but I'm going to stop. Lift your hands to heaven, everybody. Holy Spirit, we're so grateful for you. Fill us with your love, your joy, your peace, your kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness, your meekness, patience, self-control. Fill us with prophecy, with tongues, interpretation of tongues, working of miracles, gifts of healing, supernatural faith, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, discerning the spirits. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us. Fill our minds. Fill our bodies. Now, I want to say a couple of things. The devil is a liar. There are people here today, Jesus said, you can't live by bread alone, but by the words that God speaks. The Bible is God's love letter to you. It's his will revealed. As a believer, you can understand the Bible. There's a few dozen people here today, I feel you in my heart, that you believe the lie that says you can't understand the Bible. So we're going to pray a prayer, and that's done today. So if you're here today, wherever you see, I'm just going to pray for you. You say, Pastor, that's me. I believe that lie that I can't understand the Bible. This is an imperfect example. So let's say you buy one of my books. You take it home. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and it's me. And I said to you, I'm going to walk you through the book, and anything you don't understand, I'll help you understand. I wrote it. And so the Holy Spirit says to you, I wrote it. Let me help you understand it. So if you say, Pastor, I have a hard time understanding the Bible, just raise your hands up. We're going to pray that away today. Come on, it's getting out of here. So say this with me, that's you. Say this, Holy Spirit, thank you for anointing me with understanding, anointing me with revelation to understand the Bible. I declare in Jesus' name, I can understand the Bible because the Holy Spirit will walk me through it. In Jesus' name, devil, you're a liar. Thank you, God, for speaking to me from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, next time you read your Bible, now listen, next time you read the Bible, just say a little prayer. Holy Spirit, come and help me. Come and help me. Don't begin in the book of Revelation or Leviticus. Go to Mark or John. Go to some great books. Romans is a great book, a little complex. Go to Galatians. Read the New Testament, Gospels, Epistles, and watch Jesus help you. The second thing is here, God is delivering the minds of people in the church that have been hurt and oppressed by the activity of the enemy. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, it was one of my notes, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He can help you with your little stuff. He will quicken your life. He will quicken your mind. So oppression has to leave today. Mental torment, mental disease has to leave today. If you say, Pastor, my mind's been oppressed by anxiety, stress, or discouragement, depression, or any disorder, it doesn't matter if it's diagnosed. If you're suffering, that's enough. Don't suffer anymore. There's an anointing on your vanity called healing. And we're just going to take it and pour some on today until our minds are free. He gives me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He gives me the oil of joy for sorrow and grief. That's a good thing. If you say, Pastor, that's me. What, if that's you, if your mind, your heart is under any kind of oppression, just hold up your hands. Because we're going to take a stand today. That's you. Just wave your hand. Hold up your hand. Say, Pastor, I'm claiming freedom from discouragement, depression, anxiety, stress, disorders, known, recognized, discerned or not. Anything that's happening that you know is not from God. Come on, just lift up your hand. So I want you to say this. Holy Spirit, today I receive your anointing to heal, to liberate, and deliver my mind. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your joy. I thank you for your love. I receive now your presence. I bind the devil. And I declare I have the mind of Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Oppression cannot live in my mind one day longer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God praise. Come on, give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you set the captives free. You set the captives free. Would you stand your feet with me this morning? Prayer team, would you join me down front? Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. So good to us. We honor you. We reverence you. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just stay close to God for a few more moments. We're almost done. We're going to dismiss, but I want people that need prayer to have the chance to receive it today. In Jesus' name. There's a person here in your family right now. There are four people being treated for mental diseases, mental illnesses. And your heart's been burdened for their freedom. And I just want to speak a word of healing over your family. If that's you, if you wave your hand at me. There's four close nuclear family members that are suffering with discernment. Okay, so I declare freedom in Jesus' name. If that's anybody else, let's just claim it. Lord, I speak freedom in Christ's name to these households. We send your word, Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. We send the word of God to heal their minds, their hearts in Christ's name and declare freedom comes by the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, God. There's someone here, there are two people here diagnosed, three people here with cancer. And Jesus today is going to help you with your cancer. He's going to heal you, okay? He's going to really help.